George MacDonald is one of the most interesting writers of the 19th century. He came from the north of Scotland, from a quite poor background. It was one summer when he had what is now called student debt problems. He had to take a year out and work in a big house in the north of Scotland, among other things, cataloguing its library. And here he discovered all these actually German folk tales and fairy tales, which he totally loved. So he became kind of addicted to that tradition of German romantic fantasy and folk tales and philosophy, and did theology for the rest of his life. He got a job as a minister of religion down in the south of England, at a place called Arundel. He didn't last very long there because he actually published some poems by Novalis, a German radical romantic, which didn't go down well with the good burghers of Arundel. They didn't like the contents of his sermons because, among other things, he seemed to accept the possibility that possibly some animals, and even worse, some Roman Catholics might actually have a hope of some kind of life after death. So these deeply heretical views were you know, too hot for the people in Arundel to handle, so he was sacked. And he had to make his living from then on by writing. He found it very difficult to get his fairy tales published because there was no market for them, because there was a big down on fairy tales in the 19th century, because they were considered to be dangerous reading material for young people, because they gave them all sorts of fancy ideas. The term is often used, Baudelaireized, because this vicar, I think, Baudelaire, took out all the dirty bits from Shakespeare in his version. The same thing happened to fairy tales. Even the Grimms themselves did this in the different editions. In the first versions of some of these stories, they're quite obviously about sex. I mean, why do these children keep appearing? Rapunzel, for example, suddenly gets pregnant after the visits of the young prince. But this is got rid of. And this Baudelaireization or elimination of particularly sex, but anything that was thought to be inappropriate for young people, takes place all during the 19th century. And you can see some people at the end of the 19th century who are beginning to play around a bit. They don't put any sort of improper bits back in, but they make it quite clear that this is a sort of a game we're playing. In fact, if you read MacDonald's story, The Light Princess, in terms of sexual innuendo, actually, it's quite sophisticated. There's quite a lot of quite risky jokes, if you read it in those terms. I mean, the whole idea of the prince and princess getting to know each other and having a great time swimming, not in the sort of equipment that Victorian ladies would wear to swim in, but just presumably with very little on indeed. If you look at the older fairy tale princesses in the Grimms, for example, the Grimms tales, like other characters, they're pretty well interchangeable. I mean, any wicked stepmother is like any other wicked stepmother, any princess is like any other stepmother. They're not characters in the modern sense, but in literary fairy tales, they are. George MacDonald was particularly interested in princesses in the sense that he thought it was important to know how to be a real princess rather than just a hereditary title. For him, being a princess meant having certain kind of qualities that you had to work quite hard to achieve. And this is, I think, at work in his story, The Light Princess, which is about how hard it is to be a princess. And also he wrote another story later on called The Lost Princess, which is about, again, how difficult it is to be a real princess, not just in name only and not just to rank and kind of swagger, but to actually have the essential qualities of dignity and generosity that a real princess would have. There's also a kind of joke on this, in fact, in Hans Christian Andersen with his story of the princess and the pea, which is about, you know, how do you check whether a princess is really a princess? This is George MacDonald talking about princes and princesses. The prince in The Light Princess traveled far and wide, but as sure as he found a princess, he found some fault in her. Of course, he could not marry a mere woman, however beautiful, and there was no princess to be found worthy of him. Whether the princess was so near perfection that he had a right to demand perfection itself, I cannot pretend to say. All I know is that he was a fine, handsome, brave, generous, well-bred, and well-behaved youth, as all princes are. And then later in the story, there's a dialogue between the prince and the princess. And suddenly they realize they're calling each other prince and princess, although they haven't been formally introduced. How do they know that they're actually a prince and a princess? So the prince says to the princess one day, "How do you know I'm a prince, princess?" And she replies, "Because you're a very nice young man, prince." So this kind of fits in with the kind of stereotype of the perfect gentleman, the perfect young woman. One of the interesting things about George MacDonald is that he was very interested in German Romanticism in general. For example, he loved the works of E.T. Hoffmann, The Golden Pot, and so on. But he had a particular admiration for the work of Friedrich von Hardenberg, whose pen name was Novalis. A really very good, you know, pen name, Novalis, implies breaking boundaries and doing new things. But MacDonald translated Novalis's work. In fact, he actually lost his job at one point because of translating Novalis's work, because it was too radical, kind of theologically and philosophically. But some of Novalis's beliefs that the fairy tale was central to all that was really important in philosophical and theological terms found its way into George MacDonald. So for MacDonald, a fairy tale, although it could be light in one sense, I mean, the light princess is very funny, very light-hearted, very witty, it's also quite profound and contains some quite heavy weight ideas. And that goes back to MacDonald's love of this German tradition, which sees the fairy tale as somehow the most important of all literary forms. It is in the fairy tale more than anywhere else that you can express a sense of the wonder of just being here at all and what it might all be about. And it was only with the success of Alice in Wonderland that he could, for the first time, publish The Light Princess in a book of explicitly fairy stories called Dealings with the Fairies in 1867. He published thereafter a couple of long fairy stories. What I think you would have to call them fantasy works. They're long, big fairy stories called The Princess and the Goblin, which many 20th century writers such as Chesterton, W.H. Auden, I think is kind of the best thing written in the 19th century. And The Princess and Curdie. Curdie is a little miner who appears in the first book. And these are very influential fairy tale books. He later in life wrote what is probably the definitive late Victorian fantasy novel, very much for adults, not for children at all. It's called Lilith. And it's based on the biblical story of Adam's first wife, Lilith, who is only mentioned marginally in the Bible, but she was quickly got rid of for all sorts of reasons, particularly because she believed that girls were better on top, which was apparently inappropriate in a biblical context. But she is mentioned in various passages, hinted at various passages in the Old Testament and other literature. She is a very powerful demoness, and this is a very strongly erotic, late romantic or late 19th century fantasy, fantasy-ecle, full-on gothic sexuality. His wife hated him writing this book. It just about drove him mad, but in many ways it's his masterpiece. And after that, I think he's more or less stopped writing.